I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World. As a candidate, Donald Trump vowed to pull the U.S. out of the 2015 Paris Climate Accord. Now President Trump has to decide if he's going to go through with it. At stake is whether the U.S. remains committed to lowering greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to climate change. We'll be keeping an eye on that story, but whatever Trump decides, future U.S. emissions will be impacted by a wide variety of factors, some of which are largely independent of the federal government. So we begin today with one example, self-driving cars. Backers say autonomous vehicles won't just make travel safer and less stressful, they'll also be good for the environment. We asked The World's Carolyn Beeler for a reality check on that.
Basically, to make a normal car a self-driving car, you strap some eyes to it and you give it a brain.
This is Carl Yanyama, who's standing next to a tricked-out electric car in a Boston garage. The brain of the car he's talking about is computer hardware in the trunk. And the eyes?
The eyes are these other sensors that you see mounted on different parts of the car. There's a LiDAR sensor on the roof, and there are cameras bristling all over the car, and those help detect other cars, pedestrians, other objects.
Yanyama is the CEO of Newtonomy. The company is testing this car in Boston's Seaport District. Passengers aren't allowed yet, I asked, but riders are allowed in pilot tests overseas.
We partnered with a company called Grab, which is kind of the Uber of Singapore. So a customer could hail one of our cars, and if we happened to be on the road at that time, we would pick them up and they could take a ride in a self-driving car.
One day, Yanyama wants to compete with current ride-sharing companies by offering cheaper fares. But before self-driving cars hit the roads for real, a lot of questions have to be answered. Will they be safe? Will they be reliable? And what will they mean for the environment? Some backers say they'll cut down on fuel use and pollution by driving more efficiently than people do. But Yanyama isn't quite sure if that's going to be true for his business model.
One thing that may happen is if you reduce the cost of transportation, people may take more trips because it's cheaper. But it's hard to predict.
Really hard. Anne Schlenker at the Argonne National Laboratory in Illinois is one of the people trying to make that prediction. She says a recent study found driverless cars could cut gas consumption by a huge amount, up to 90%. But that same study found fuel use could also increase by 200%.
So we are on a path to refine those numbers, as are other researchers, because it was quite a startling future.
So we're now headed over to a testing area.
In a big garage downstairs from her office, about half a dozen cars are hooked up to testing equipment. The lab is looking at automated features that already exist on some cars to see how they affect fuel consumption. She steps up in front of one of the cars.
So this actually is a Toyota Prius Prime.
The car optimizes when it shifts into electric mode to save fuel.
It has adaptive cruise control.
That automatically adjusts the car's speed.
So all of those early automation features do indeed improve the environmental signature.
Other new automated features could also increase the efficiency of each trip. But there might also be more trips because more people will be able to use driverless cars, like elderly people who can't drive anymore, and kids. Driverless cars might also change where we live.
Rather than a 30-minute commute, now you're willing to entertain a 60-minute commute to get cheaper housing because I can be productive while the car takes me into the office when I need to go.
Yet another factor? Without human error, the risk of car crashes is predicted to plummet. Now, that's a good thing for safety, of course, but it might also mean we'll drive faster and use a lot more gas.
Some of these future scenarios are very scary.
Jason Rugolo is at ARPA-E, the energy department agency that invests in advanced energy technologies. To avoid these scary future scenarios, Rugolo's looking at funding research into even more fuel-efficient self-driving car designs.
For example, we could invest in autonomous vehicles that are much lighter weight, could have much better drag coefficients, so they look much more like a fish instead of a block moving through the air. And all of these developments could dramatically reduce the amount of energy we use, even if we're driving very fast and very far.
No matter what the cars look like, there's still the question of how they'll be used. Singapore, where Newtonomy is testing its technology, is a tiny, crowded country that doesn't want more cars clogging its streets, driverless or otherwise. It hopes automated vehicles will help. Here's Lee Chan Tech with Singapore's Ministry of Transport.
Our plan is that by 2030, 8 in 10 people will be able to walk to the train station.
For the 2 in 10 who can't, Lee wants tiny self-driving cars, or pods, to fill that gap.
Self-driving pods to bring people from their doorstep to the train station, I think, will help encourage more people to take public transport.
Singapore is also funding research into self-driving buses to expand their bus networks. Now, this future full of self-driving vehicles is still years away, but if we don't start planning for it now, driverless cars could land us right where we started, stuck in traffic, surrounded by bad air. For The World, Carolyn Beeler, Boston.